Joe's freaking auto!
This is Brock and Salk.
Brock Huard and Marcus. Sorry about just Mike.
On Seattle Sports.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
You were not exactly Joe Cap there in the pocket.
Presented by Simply Seattle.
Now here are your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Salk.
All right, let's go, everybody. It is the Brock and Salk Show on opening day on Seattle Sports on 710. SeattleSports.com, Seattle Sports app. You guessed it, all the podcast platforms out there as well. Good morning, Maura. Happy opening day to you.
Happy opening day.
Good morning, Justin. Happy opening day to you.
Not only is it opening day, but one of your other favorite things has happened this morning.
What a morning. Justin, I don't hear you. No?
He overslept.
You're not here. Oh, you just woke up. Oh, you won't be in for quite some time.
You love it.
It is great. Justin will be singing something today if you guys have suggestions.
I think it should be baseball.
It's got to be. So take me out to the ball game. Not quite enough. I don't know. That one, that doesn't quite do it.
Yeah.
So it's got to be more than that. You know, center field, John Fogerty, maybe. But if you have other suggestions, you can certainly text them in this morning. 2866-979-3776, Mac and Jack's text line. And we would be happy to pass them along to Mr. Barnes once he gets here. Eventually, I'm sure that will happen.
I feel bad because I know that feeling. But I'm just happy that I'm not the one singing for once. It feels like I've had to sing like the last 5 times that someone sung on
But you've done so well each time, Maura, and I think that's all that matters. Anyway, Justin will be here eventually. Poor guy overslept on opening day of all days on such a beautiful, wonderful day. Not that the weather is good for it, at least not this morning. Had the windshield wipers on high on the highway. That's no fun. But nothing will deter the excitement. It is awesome, man. I love this day. It is one of the holy days on the sports calendar because of, you know, what it signifies. I spent a lot of time kind of thinking through this yesterday because this particular opening day, I find myself a little conflicted, maybe more than some others, after the way last year went, after the offseason, after, you know, the sort of feeling that a lot of people have in town about the Mariners right now. But it's also opening day, and this is a new team, and this is a new group, and I can't help but get caught up in it. That's what you do. It's as a baseball fan, certainly that's what I've always done. I mean, look, I grew up in a place that, you know, loved and worshiped the game of baseball. As big as sports is in New England, growing up in the 80s and into the 90s, nothing was more important than baseball. I mean, it has always sort of stood above in that region of the country, certainly during that time. And if you think Mariner fans get mad every year, I don't know that I could even describe to you the vitriol, anger, frustration, you name it, that existed in the town that I grew up in Boston, at that time before the Red Sox had won their World Series. It was more frustration and anger than you could imagine. And yet, every year, every March into April, it was usually April at that point, what were we doing? All right, well, I think if Jose Canseco can just stay healthy for this many games, and if Mo Vaughn can do, like, that's what you do. You start working yourself back into being that fan of your team. And I'm there. It's opening day, and I'm there. I'm excited for what this team can do. I'm thinking a lot about what Cal Raleigh can be as a catcher and the home runs that he can hit. I'm thinking a lot about Julio Rodriguez and the dynamic way he brings so many different parts of the game to life. I'm thinking about Ty France having lost weight and finding a way back out to become the player that he was before injuries, wrist, and otherwise seemed to just kind of zap him of some of his contact ability and certainly some of that power. I'm thinking about J.P. Crawford and the leadership that he shows. I'm thinking about J.P. leading off and finding ways to get on base and that little look that he gives to the umpire when he knows he's right because he's got a great eye for the strike zone and the umpire's just a little bit off. I'm thinking about Mitch Haniger, back with Seattle, happier than he's been in years. I'm thinking about Luke Raley and the big-time power that he's got. I'm thinking about Mitch Garver, newest Mariner. He and Jorge Polanco, guys who've been with the Twins, guys who've played in some lousy weather, guys who have been either in Garver's case all the way to the World Series with Texas or in Polanco's case, dealing with years of frustration in Minnesota where you know, at times things were much worse, certainly, than they've been here in Seattle. And then, of course, I'm thinking of this starting rotation. My guy, Luis Castillo, who I think is as good as anybody in this game, and he's going to start today. I think we overlook him. I think we don't spend enough time talking about him. He's a thank you. Thank you. Yes, that's what we need. That sounds nice. Is this what Justin's going to sing later?
Maybe.
He's going to sing. Justin could sing this. Go for your touch.
Oh, all right. Really feeling it today.
Yeah, it's opening day.
I know. I was just thinking as you're saying all that, I think you're almost talking as if you still need to, like, convince fans. But I would hope today of all days, like, no matter what feelings you might have from last year and what skepticisms you might have, I would hope everybody's excited today. Like, what's the point of being a fan if you're not excited day one of the season?
Well, that's exactly right, Moore. I think that's ultimately the point I'm making. And you and I probably see that one as closely as anybody around, because that was very much our childhoods of being frustrated, being mad, feeling like your team fell short.
And then you sign up to do it all over again.
It
worked out.
It did. One beautiful day in October of 2004. I am excited about this team. I do think that they're unique. I enjoyed the process of thinking about them and writing about them and kind of getting a lot of the scars from last year kind of off my chest, right? Last year really was hard for a lot of reasons and for a lot of people in different ways, right? Hard for the people that thought they were going to be bad and then watched the entire season assuming that that was going to be the case and felt very vindicated at the end when it didn't work out. Bad for the folks like me that thought that the team was going to be really, really good and were patient through April and May and even into June as they kind of floundered and didn't do enough and felt rewarded for a stretch in July and August and then ultimately disappointed as things came to a crashing halt at the end of September and then completely spiraled from there with, you know, Cal Raleigh and J.P. Crawford and Jerry DePoto and everything that kind of went down after that. It's been a rough ride. And so I think a lot of us are feeling scarred. I do believe exactly what you said, though, Maura. Today's a day to shake off those scars. Today's a day to think about the future of what this team can bring. And I think it's also a day to let this team be this team. And as I found myself writing, and I do sometimes think by writing, if that makes sense. I don't always know exactly where I'm going to go with a column when I start writing it. But I find myself sort of my thoughts start to coalesce as I write. And I think the thing that I actually ended up liking most was the last thought in here. It's time to let the 2024 team speak for itself rather than having to answer for the sins of its predecessors. This is its own team. It's different from last year. It is. They have a different second baseman. They have a different third baseman, for better or for worse. They're going to have a different right fielder, a different left fielder, a different DH, different players in the bullpen. They're going to start with a different rotation than they started last year. What did we figure? Roughly 50% or so of this roster is going to be different from the way it started last year on this day. So it is a different team. Yeah, they still carry with them some of the memories of the past, but that doesn't mean they should be forced to pay for it in any way. They're new. This is a new group. It's been put together in a new way. And I think that's why the Hope Springs Eternal thing is so important. There's a reason that the word spring is in Hope Springs Eternal. It's spring. It's the beginning. It's rebirth. It's a new opportunity, a new chance. Flowers bloom. Everything that makes baseball wonderful is today. As baseball starts at T-Mobile Park tonight, can't wait to be down there. And to grab myself a double Mitch Witch, which I'm going to get right about 5 o'clock. All right, come right back with everything you need to know. And maybe Justin will be here by the time we get back. Let's not count on it. That's coming up. Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710, seattlesports.com.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Well, there are certain happy days on the sports calendar, but none more so than today. It is officially, say it together, opening day, the start of a six-month marathon with more twists and turns than your average Netflix documentary. Nothing like baseball season, and I can't wait to be at the park later this afternoon. The bunting is up. Nelson Cruz is going to throw out the first pitch, and he will join us this morning at 9:30. Julio will be in the lineup, and Luis Castillo will be on the hill. How good is Luis? I think he's great. Dontrell Willis on the station yesterday with Wyman and Bob says, he's the best in the rotation for sure.
He throws strikes with everything at high velocity. So it's not like he's just thumbing the baseball up there. You know what I mean? He's 96 to 98 miles an hour or so, and he's no petit filet. He's a guy that can swing this baseball. But for me, it's Castillo because he just has that it factor. I mean, he wants to go up against anybody's ace, and really he'll fist pump you in the second inning, the third inning, the fourth inning. And so when I got a chance to meet him, he told me, he's like, man, you're one of my favorite pitchers. And I said, man, we got to work on your heroes, man, but I appreciate that. but Castillo's my favorite guy in the rotation by far.
Well, I think Dontrell was one of everybody's favorite pitchers just with the personality he threw with. But I agree with him. I do think that Luis is the best on the team, and I think he kind of gets lost in the shuffle sometimes with the excitement around Kirby and Gilbert and the young guys. But this dude's a stud, and looking forward to seeing him pitch for real tonight. Of course, we'll also get an opportunity to see Julio and everything that he brings to the table. Tim Kirchen says, what's his ceiling? There is no ceiling.
I'm not sure there is one. I mean, look at the track record. Look at those first two seasons. It's ridiculous how good he has been. He has been historically good when it comes to power and speed combination, and to do it at his age is amazing. And the reason there is no ceiling is his work ethic, and I know this all sounds corny, is second to none. His level of focus is amazing for a young player.
And I think that level of focus is going to be even better this year than it was a year ago, because simply there are fewer distractions, and he's learned how to, I think, push some of those things away and give himself the opportunity to do what he's got to do. So couldn't be more excited for this evening. They'll have four with the Red Sox, which start tonight. Cleveland comes to town next. So a 7-game homestand to start the season against two teams that are not expected to be in the playoffs this year. It is an opportunity for the Mariners to get off to a good start. And that will begin tonight at T-Mobile Park.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
All right, maybe kind of lost in the shuffle here because of all the other excitement and everything else and the flurry of activity at UW is they hired a new basketball coach, Danny Sprinkle. This guy is local in his own way, born in Pullman, most recently leading the Utah State program, met with the media yesterday.
But this is personal too, not just my dad playing here, but like all of his friends that he played with, my sisters, we grew up on Husky football. We still do. We watched the national championship game. I would leave, and I know they're probably gonna get mad, I would leave some Montana State games and Utah State games to go watch Husky games. I would leave the press box to go and watch the games. I'm a fan of Husky football and all the athletics just like everybody else is here too. But, there is a personal, touch to it.
Yeah, so he met with the media yesterday, as did a lot of the football folks, including Jed Fish and Steve Belichick, Brennan Carroll, a little media luncheon. Belichick, though, of everybody there, guess who's the big cut-up? He was asked who was what the difference is between him and his dad.
I got a job and he doesn't.
Man, that's cold. That is outright cold.
He knows that.
Wow. That's just straight up cold. So, that's what's going on there. In terms of college hoops, tournament action returns tonight. Gonzaga facing number one Purdue. This is going to be a heck of a test because that Zach Edey dude is enormous. 7'4". He's a creature. Mark Few knows it.
Colin, and this will be we played him last year in the PK85 in your old hometown, Portland. And this year we played him in Maui back in November. And, I mean, in 25 years I've been ahead coach here, I've never dealt with a player or an entity like him. He is a really, really, really good basketball player. Does everything well. I mean, he posts the right way. He can score. His ball goes in now. Very efficient. And he shoots free throws really well. And then at the other end, he's just it's tough to get shots off in the paint.
Dude's pretty amazing. 7'4", as I said, an absolute creature. That was with Colin Cowherd, and they'll get going tonight as well.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
I don't know if this is something you specifically need to know, but it really jumped out to me yesterday. Brock sent this over. Justin Moore, I know you both saw this. Oh, Justin, are you here?
Hi, friends.
Oh, hi, Justin. Oh, it's nice of you to show up and join us today. We'll chat. We'll chat in just a moment.
Thanks.
This is Jim Harbaugh asked about the offensive line, and this answer should ring in the ears of every single Seahawks fan.
The offensive line to me is important. I mean, if I asked you the question of, like, what position group depends on no other position group to be good, but every other position group depends on them to be good, you know, what position group is that? Offensive line. They're not relying on any other position group to be good. They go out and they're good. But yet every other position group relies on the offensive line to be good.
If you want to know why I was so interested in the idea of Jim Harbaugh being the next head coach of the Seattle Seahawks, that's it right there. That's it. That's the reason. Listen to him talk about that. Listen to him understand and then go out and do it. It's what's most important to him and his style and his system. He commits to it. He goes out and does it. And in the meantime, we're looking at the Seahawks today going, what are they going to do on the offensive line? They know it. They know they've got an issue there, but they've allowed it to become an issue there. Don't love it. That's everything you need to know. And we do it, of course, quarter past every hour here on the Brock and Salk Show. It's opening day. It's a wonderful, wonderful morning, even though it's raining, even though the weather's kind of lousy. We know that everything perfect in life is on the horizon as summer is now right around the corner, or at least 3 months away now that opening day is here. Justin?
Yeah, I think I...
Thanks for joining us.
Appreciate it. Yeah. I think just too excited last night, got too riled up. Yeah. That must be the problem.
Must be.
I was just like,
that's what I told him. I was like, you've probably just been haven't been able to sleep for days because of opening day, and it just caught up with you.
So Justin missed the start of the show. As people know, we have a little tradition here on the show where when you're late, you sing.
Not only Maura does that.
When you are late, you sing. And so I solicited some suggestions from our audience.
If only I have to sing when I'm late, then I'm going to HR.
Some good ones, Justin, if you would like some of the audience suggestions.
Yeah, what are they?
The 303 here came up with a bunch. Naughty, Hip Hop Hooray, Naughty by Nature.
Oh, okay. That's a good Mariners theme.
Not just the chorus. You have to, you know, wrap the verse.
That's a good Mariners theme, though.
Yes. He also said any of the other classic walk-up songs, Bad to the Bone.
Oh, okay.
That would be interesting. Welcome to the Jungle.
Bad of the Bone.
What a Man. So a couple of options there. Yeah, I don't know if any of those sound like you.
I'm thinking as you go here what the lyrics I could change them to, but I still like them.
My favorite suggestion was to sing something by The Outfield, like Your Love.
Oh, yeah, that range is really, really
I think
for
you
everybody.
Should try to do Your Love.
Or he even suggested Unchained Melody, his song for Luis.
Yes, earlier. I sang
I
a little
get
bit
in between
earlier.
You two.
Hey, you were late. Like, that's okay if you want to. If you want to, yeah. What do you think? Any of those jump out to you?
I mean, I really do like the Mariners theme. So
I kind of like The Outfield. I got to tell you,
of course you do.
It's Josie's better when it's a surprise, though. Don't make him pick
far
one right now.
Away. I think that sounds like you. I think you got to do that.
Let him reveal it to us. I don't want to know which one he's
all right.
Do.
Well, take some time. Think about it a little bit. And Justin will be singing later today. We'll be talking baseball throughout the morning. Katie Griggs is going to join us at 9 o'clock. We'll take some of your phone calls as well. And yes, Nelson Cruz, the boomstick himself, at 9:30 this morning, 3 hours from now. Can't wait for that. We'll come back. We do have a little bit of football for you guys, just because Sam Howell, new quarterback, pretty exciting. Had a chance to sit down with him yesterday and thought you guys would like to hear it. It's coming up next. Brock and Salk, CL Sports on 710CLSports.com.
You're listening to Brock and Salk,
powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio
on Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
Well, everything's going to look different this year for the Seahawks, that we know. And one of the new faces is quarterback Sam Howell, arrives from Washington, and he joins us right now here on Brock and Salk. Sam, good morning. Welcome to Seattle.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you, guys. Yeah, just happy to be on. Happy to be a Seahawk.
From Washington to Washington. I mean, make sense of that, right? I mean, obviously D.C. to Washington State, but just a little crisscross in the country. Can you take us back to the day that you heard that this trade was going to happen and you'd be now in Seattle?
Yeah, I had no – it was a couple of days before the trade announced that I kind of knew that they were kind of listening to trade offers. And the GM in Washington, Adam Peters, was very good to me and kind of kept me in the loop the whole time. And Adam knew that Seattle was a place that, you know, I was interested in going. And obviously, you know, he's going to take the best offer at the end of the day. But, yeah, he just gave me the call and let me know. And just super thankful to those guys in Washington. They were very professional the way they did their business. And I'm just happy to be a Seahawk.
Why was it a place that you were interested in going?
Yeah, I played. We played there last year. So I love the organization. I've heard a lot of really good things about the organization. And, you know, it's a really fun place to play. And I spent a few days in the city last year when we played out there, and it seemed like a cool place to be. And I'm just excited for a fresh start. And, yeah, just, you know, opportunity to, you know, be behind Geno. I've got a lot of respect for Geno. So I'm really excited about it.
Sam Howell here with us. A couple years ago, there was a pretty significant QB trade in this market, so we've gotten to know trades. And you said something there that piqued my interest just a little bit. And I do know that there were multiple teams that were involved in this. So what role do you and your agent play to Mr. Peters out there in Washington and say, gosh, I'd really love if you could find a way to get this done? Do you think that played any role in you ultimately ending up here and not a couple of those other spots?
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I mean, it's hard to know. I mean, I only know so much, you know. Obviously I don't really know exactly what other teams were offering. And at the end of the day, Washington's going to take the best offer. So, you know, obviously, you know, the teams that I wanted to go to were some of the same teams that were pushing really hard to get me. And, you know, Adam just kind of told me at the end of the day, it just came down to, you know, Seattle wanted me more than anybody else. And I'm happy with it. You know, I'm happy to be a Seahawk, and I'm just excited to get started here pretty soon.
What have they told you about your role, about your future here?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, it's just taking it one day at a time. You know, obviously, you know, Geno's still the guy, and, you know, I'm going to try to do everything I can to just come in and work and just try to get better and try to be a good teammate and support Geno and, you know, do whatever I can, you know, to help the team win. But at the same time, always trying to compete, you know, and always, every single time I step on the field, just always trying to, you know, show these guys what I can do and what I'm capable of. But, yeah, I'm just taking it one day at a time. I'm not trying to worry too much about the future. I'm just excited to get there and, you know, get to work with new coaches, new teammates. So I'm excited.
How big of a role do you think that game played in Seattle, the Pacific Northwest, where you threw for over 300 yards and 3 touchdowns and played great on that afternoon and nearly beat the Seahawks? Looking back, how big of a role do you think that played for both you and them?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'd probably say a pretty decent role. I think always playing good against, you know, teams that, you know, you might want to play for definitely helps you. And that was definitely one of my better games of the year. So I'm sure it helped a little bit. But, you know, I thought I did some good things last year and definitely showed some ability to play in this league. I'm very thankful to, you know, to John for, you know, reaching out and giving me this opportunity.
Do we know what number you're going to wear yet?
Not sure yet. They were still kind of working through some of those things. So I'm sure as soon as I know, you guys will know.
How do you choose your number? Do you have is there a method to that?
No. I mean, I don't really put too much thought into it. You know, I just kind of, you know, whatever's available. You know, just try to pick one that I think might be the coolest.
So you're not gonna go buy one off somebody.
Nah, I'm not gonna buy one. You know, somebody's got it.
It's too bad. I see you as a number 8. I see you as a number 8, and I know that Kobe's already got number 8, but I kind of see you as a number 8. So I was hoping you were gonna come on today and say, "Yeah, no, I'm gonna buy that off Kobe because it means
Sam, understand that Salk is a big numerologist guy. Yeah, and it's a big deal to him. May not be to you,
but look right out there. Look good, feel good, play good, right? And I just want to make sure.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, I'm right there with you.
Okay, good.
I'm not gonna play game though.
Yeah, don't go 6. Whatever you do, don't go 6.
Right.
That never really works for quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Hey, you played the Seahawks. Did you end up playing Mike McDonald's defense at all in the Ravens, either in training camp, or did you get any feel of competing against your new head coach?
Yeah, so we we had a joint practice with the Ravens last year. So got the chance to go against them, and man, they had a good defense. And Mike was doing a really good job. And obviously, you know, they had a lot of success, not only last year, but all the years he was there. And it was just fun to watch. He does some really good things from a pressure standpoint that make it really hard to, you know, from a quarterback perspective of picking up protections and knowing which way to slide the protection. And they're always really good at disguising things and kind of showing the opposite of what they're going to do. So I'm excited to play with them. And I know for sure we'll have a good defense.
Yeah, I love that. So if you wouldn't mind, Sam, just a little compare and contrast. You got to play against a Seahawk defense. It was different, right? They were not as much disguised. They were not as aggressive and everything else. And then a Mike McDonald in a Baltimore system that everything you laid out. Just kind of compare and contrast maybe what you played against last year and what Seahawk fans can expect to see from a Mike McDonald defense this year.
Yeah. Obviously, I don't want to speak for Coach, but, you know, I think, you know, they'll probably do a little bit more in the pressure world. And the Seahawks, they did pressure a little bit last year. But I think you'll probably see a lot more disguising. I think the players will probably enjoy it more than the scheme they played last year. And I think it will give them more opportunities to be successful. But I don't know. We'll see how it goes. And, you know, we haven't really talked scheme or anything. And I'm sure we'll learn pretty fast as far as what they plan on doing and the direction he wants to go. But whatever he decides to do with the defense, it'll be really good.
I don't want to put you in a bad position. We're talking to Sam Howell. I don't want to put you in a bad position in talking about the city and the organization that you came from. But from the outside, the lawsuits and the environment and everything else we've heard about the Washington organization makes it sound, I'll use the word, challenging. Was it? Are you, you know, is it important for you to get that fresh start and kind of try it in a different style of organization?
Yeah, I mean, I'll say this. I'll say what my time in Washington, I wasn't really there for most of whatever was going on with, you know, the former owner. All I can say is one, the new owner, Mr. Harris, bought the team. It's been completely different. I think that the organization has gotten so much better. And they're working hard every single day to try to improve it and try to make it better for everybody, you know, the players, the staff, and I'm forever thankful for my time over there in Washington. But that being said, you know, Seattle is a great organization, and I spent probably one day in the building after I got traded and just talking to people, and it seems awesome. People seem awesome. It seems like a really professionally ran organization, and I'm excited. This is where I get to have my fresh start.
Where is home base for you, Sam? Where do you make home?
Yeah, down where I grew up in Charlotte, North Carolina.
And did you spent much time out on the West Coast, other than obviously a few of the games playing different teams? Have you spent much time out here?
No, not really. I mean, I spent some time in California. I trained for the draft out there in California, but not the Northwest.
So what do we like to do? Do we like to fish? Do we like to hunt? Do we like the outdoors? What are we going to like? You know, I know you got OTAs and everything coming up and workouts in just a short amount of time. What are we looking forward to out here in the Pacific Northwest?
Yeah, I mean, they just say it's really beautiful, and they say there's always a lot of good things to do outside. And so, honestly, you know, I play a little bit of golf. Maybe do a little bit of that. And, you know, I fish a little bit every now and then. So maybe I'll pick that back up again. But we'll see. You know, I'm excited. I'm kind of open to anything, and I'm just kind of excited to learn more about the city and just find what I like out there.
Julian Love, system? Right? Big golfer, oh, Julian well. Love. That might be one of your first calls. My understanding is he's a pretty good golfer and pretty into it. So maybe he can help you out on where you want to go and where you want to play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely might have to do that.
Hey, last couple minutes here with Sam. How about the system? Have you gone back and looked at what Ryan Grubb has done? And obviously Michael Penix, the runner-up for the Heisman, had a lot of fun throwing the pill for the last couple of years within this system. Have you started to get any kind of feel and sense for what Ryan's going to do here in Seattle with you guys?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I follow a lot of college football, and, you know, they've had a lot of success at, you know, at University of Washington, so it's been a lot of fun to watch. And, you know, I'm excited to work with, you know, Coach Grubb, and obviously, you know, we haven't really been able to talk about scheme or anything, and so I'm excited to, you know, go and learn and see what kind of stuff they were doing at Washington. Obviously, you know, I can watch it on film, but it's different when you kind of get down and you talk about it and see what they're teaching the guys to do. And so So I'm excited about it. You know, I think it'll be really good. I think it'll be fun to play in a college-like offense. Obviously, you know, I'm sure there'll be some pro-style stuff in there, but I think this will be an offense that really suits me, and it'll be really fun to play in.
What do you do best?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, I really think I do a lot of things well. I think just my ability to, you know, get in there and just rally a group of guys and, you know, get those guys around me playing to the best of their ability is one of the things that I do really good. Then I just think I'm a competitor. You know, I'm going to do whatever it takes to give my team a chance to win. And, you know, all I care about is, you know, winning. And no matter what it takes or what I have to do to get it done, I'm going to do it. So I'm just excited to, you know, to learn a new group of guys and go to war with them.
We obviously did our research as soon as the trade went down. We talked to Bram Weinstein, who's as you know, the voice of the Commanders on radio, and great guy and an old friend, and he just raved about you and raved about you know, your ability to do a lot of the things you just mentioned. Said that you got huge upside, and you know, we also asked, of course, about, you know, some of the interceptions and the sacks, both of which led the league last year. How did that come to be? I mean, did it get away from you late in the year? Is it something that you're working on? What do we need to know about that part of your game?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, the interceptions, you know, got to do a better job. And I think there were some times where we were down in some games and that I was just trying to be a little aggressive. And at times, maybe just trying to do a little too much, trying to give us a chance, but gotta be smarter. Gotta play smarter football. Gotta play winning football. And at times, I was doing it. You know, just gotta do it at a more consistent rate. And I feel confident about my ability to do that. It's just a matter of, if I get an opportunity, I gotta go out there and show it.
Last two quick things for me here, Sam. So it's Wednesday, March 27th. When do you guys get to town and get started here on this season?
Yeah, so we'll start April 8th is our first day. So, you know, probably get in town a few days before that just to get situated and everything. But it's coming pretty soon. I'm excited. I'm just excited to, you know, get to work with this new group of guys, get to work with the coaches. And, you know, I'm just really excited about a fresh start.
And then the last thing is the biggest council. After starting 17 games last year, being in this league a couple of years, now traded across the country, your biggest council to Michael Penix. He's got his pro day at Washington tomorrow. All indications he's going to be drafted in the first couple rounds. To the Bo Nixes, the Michael Penix, the Jaden Daniels, to the Caleb Williams, to all these guys, JJ, that now you've been in this league a couple years, your biggest piece of advice and counsel to those young quarterbacks is what?
Yeah, I would just say, man, just stay confident and just be yourself. You know, I think all the things that you've done your whole life has gotten you to this point. So don't give up on those, and don't try to change to, you know, impress a coach or impress a team. Just continue to be who you are. And everyone's in that position for a reason. So they're all great players. And they'll all have success in the league. You just got to continue to stay confident and don't let one moment, whether it's good or bad, define your career. You know, just keep working every single day and just keep stacking good days, keep trying to get better, and just be a good teammate. I think if you do those things, then it'll work out for you.
If you got to execute one golf shot, we go on a driver – or, you know, is it a drive down the middle? Is it a long putt? Is it a, you know, a chip that's got to get it to within a foot or two of the hole? What's the best shot in your bag?
Yeah, my wedge game is pretty good. Oh. So really 130 yards in the end, and then I'm a really good chipper. So really just once I get inside 130 yards or so, I'm a pretty good player. So that's probably what I would say.
What about
still working on the tee shot a little bit, yeah. not driving the ball well, but – once I figure that out, I'll have a chance to be pretty good.
Those are very famous last words. Yes. Once you figure the same here. All I got to do is just figure out the driver and everything will be fine. Sam, congratulations. Welcome to Seattle. We're looking forward to getting a chance to watch you this year, and continued good luck. We'll talk again.
Yes, sir. Thank you, guys.
All right. So it was nice to get to know Sam Howell yesterday and kind of sense where he's at and welcome him to Seattle. Sounds like he's pretty excited to be here. That's for sure. And having been here last year and said kind of like the vibe of the city and the vibe of the organization, obviously some of that will be changing with the changing of the guard at the coaching staff. But kind of cool stuff there. Hey, speaking of the Seahawks, today's mostly a baseball day, but I caught this briefly yesterday and wanted to just pass it on and sort of ask you guys about it. So this is from The Athletic, Michael Shondagar. At the end of his article, after being in Orlando, and the sort of five things he took away, the last thing He says, Schneider expects to compete for a championship every year. He intentionally never deemed the 2022 season a rebuilding year, despite all of the Seahawks' significant offseason changes. And he's not viewing this season that way either. Schneider and Carroll used to say their expectations each year started with winning the division, and he said that's still the case now with McDonald. Quote, we're not like, okay, we're going to tank or whatever, Schneider said. That mindset does not exist, and that's a mandate from team owner Jody Allen. We want to be the best. How do you feel about that?
I think that is, from a player, I think of a player first. Like, that is exactly what I'd want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to think I'm going in and wasting one of a year that I might have my only season to play in this mm-hmm. league or any time at all. Like, I would love to hear that. Do I believe it based on some of the actions? I don't know. I feel like they maybe could have done a couple other things to really, really prove that to me.
Yeah, I struggle with this one. It's absolutely the thing to say publicly. And if I'm John Schneider and I were asked about this, or Jody Allen, or I would absolutely say the same thing. It's the only way to talk. There is nothing. So this is not a criticism of John or of Jody. That is absolutely what you should say. I don't know if that's always what you should do. Right? Like, you should say it. That should be your outward mentality. But the goal is to win championships, not to be the best you can be that year. The goal for me is
to... Yeah,
but
you've said you think that part of the moves that they've made so far, you do think that they're putting more stock into what they can build over the next couple of years.
Yeah.
But if they think they can be competitive in the meantime, I don't have a problem with that, because they have... I mean, I guess you think that they're going to end up stuck in that middle area if they do that?
I do think there's a challenge there. I do think that you get a lot better players in the top 10 than you do in the 15 through 22 range.
But it's also a lot harder to turn a team from, okay, hey, we're not going to compete this year, to, hey, next year, maybe the year after that, we're going to compete. Changing that mentality of a team and a culture.
You can't.
A brand new coach.
That's why you've got to say all these things.
Yeah.
You've got to say it, but... When you end up in that middle ground, you do have a tendency to be there for a while, unless you've somehow built something that is ascending. And I don't know that I see any proof yet that they're ascending. Maybe they are. Maybe all they need is this new coaching staff, and they're going to unlock a lot of the players that they've drafted the last few years. But they got to be ascending to me.
I mean, we talk about the Mariners only being a couple games out last year. The Seahawks weren't that far away from being a playoff team last year. So maybe minor moves can...
Difference being, if you make the playoffs in baseball, you're a championship contender.
Mm-hmm.
If you make the playoffs in football, you're not that close.
Yeah, they were making the playoffs for years a lot before that.
If the Mariners made the playoffs last year, they could have gone on the same run the Diamondbacks or the Rangers did. They're perfectly capable of it. If the Seahawks had, if things had broken differently with the other teams, there's no chance they make the Super Bowl last year. Just the difference between the top couple of contending teams in football and what that means in baseball, I don't see it necessarily the same way. So, hey, back to baseball, though. It's just sort of a quick aside, because today is a big baseball day, and 99% of it is excitement about what the Mariners are doing, and the fact that baseball has returned, the onset of spring and eventually summer. But I did hear this from Mike Greenberg on ESPN, and, sort of hanging over the beginning of this season is the Shohei Ohtani story and what the heck is going on with Shohei. And, we've talked to Jeff Passan about it. We talked to the woman who broke the story about it, Tisha Thompson at ESPN. And both of them really focused on wanting to know who Shohei's people contacted, what authorities were alerted to this, because they feel like that explains a lot of what he thinks really happened. How much risk is he willing to take? If you've truly been the victim of a crime, you're calling, the FBI, you're calling the police, you're calling the authorities who have the opportunity to go out and truly investigate it. And there's no evidence yet that that's what happened here. And I think that's what ultimately leads Mike Greenberg to say this.
His story makes no sense. Nothing is less believable than the version of events that Team Ohtani is trying to present here. If we are to believe the version of events that Shohei Ohtani is now offering us, he found out, to his great shock, that his longtime best friend, had stolen $4.5 million from him and wire transferred it $500,000 at a time with no one's knowledge, which is ludicrous. Let's even live in a world where that could happen, which it can't. What's the first thing you do? You contact law enforcement, right? You bring in the authorities. Whoever it is, one calls. I don't know. I've never had $4.5 million stolen from me. But if I did, I would definitely call someone. But when they ask Shohei Ohtani, well, who have you contacted about this? The answer is they refuse to talk about it. They will not tell you who they've contacted. And the reason is they never contacted anybody because this isn't what happened here.
Wow. I mean, that's a bunch of leaps, I think, right? Is it possible that he didn't know the money was being stolen? Yeah, I think it is. I'm not saying I believe his story necessarily, but do I believe in the plausibility of it? Yeah. I've been around baseball players, and a lot of them don't have a clue what's going on in their life outside of playing baseball. They essentially allow their family to become personal assistants, and those people take over everything that they don't know anything about. That may absolutely include access to the checkbook, or in this case, the wire transfers and the bank accounts. So is that plausible and believable to me? A lot more so than it is to Mike Greenberg, anyway. Could it be a lie? Yeah, absolutely. I'm not saying I believe it. I'm just saying it's possible. As for contacting the authorities, I know that Jeff and Tisha and apparently Mike Greenberg are, you know, gung-ho on this. I don't know whether he's allowed to even say who he contacted. Maybe they told him not to say anything. Maybe he did contact the FBI or the police or whomever, or apparently Department of Homeland Security. I don't know why they're the ones investigating this, but apparently they are. He says himself, I don't know who I would contact in that situation. Do you think Shohei Ohtani does? A guy who's not even from the United States and doesn't speak English all that well? You think that he just knows exactly who to contact the moment something happens?
Anybody in his team
should? Hey, I've been the victim of a theft. Who should I call?
No, but it just seems like his team should be able to put out a statement like, we've turned this over to the proper authorities because it was a theft.
I would agree with that.
The second we noticed, we did this, and
this. The fact that they can't confirm that is
weird. There is a lot of sketchiness behind it.
Not taking questions is weird.
But I don't know that it leads me to definitively say his story is untrue and he's lying. There are question marks, big ones. Could he be lying? Yes, absolutely. Open-minded to the idea that he is the perpetrator here and not the victim. But I'm also still pretty open-minded to the idea that he's the victim and not the perpetrator.
Well, and what makes me lean that way is finding out that this guy's been conning everyone for years.
Yeah. There's a bunch here to make me think that either of those two things is still possible. But yeah, good hot take from Mike Greenberg. We'll see where this goes. All right. Brock's going to be in next. It's opening day. It is time to talk Mariners. It's time to talk Julio. It's time to talk about this rotation. It's time to get psyched for 7 o'clock tonight. It's Brock and Salk, CL Sports on 710.